The Foreign Secretary David Lammy and the US Vice President J.D. Vance have hosted a meeting of national security advisers from Europe, Ukraine and the US to discuss progress towards peace in Ukraine. It's been held ahead of talks between President Trump and Vladimir Putin of Russia next Friday to try to end the war. Mr. Trump has said that swapping territories could be part of any deal, but President Zelensky said that would go against Ukraine's constitution. Our defence correspondent Jonathan Beale reports from Kyiv.
President Zelensky's been careful not to criticise President Trump. He needs American support. But Ukraine's leader is still clearly worried about the US leader's upcoming meeting with President Putin, a meeting which so far does not include him. President Trump last night indicated that he's willing to discuss trading Ukraine's land in return for the deal he's long believed only he can broker.
It's very complicated, but we're going to get some back. We're going to get some switched. There'll be some swapping of territories to the betterment of both.
President Zelensky and most Ukrainians may struggle to see how surrendering their land will benefit them. Though it is possible that Mr. Trump wants Russia to give up its claims to Zaporizhia and Kherson. But that would still leave Ukraine losing the entire Donbass in eastern Ukraine, where the fighting's been fiercest. Tens of thousands of Ukrainian troops have already given up their lives in its defence. President Zelensky made clear even that was unacceptable. He said the answer to ceding territory was already ruled out in Ukraine's constitution. No one could deviate from that, he said. Ukraine would not give their land to the occupier. Today, President Zelensky has been rallying the support of European leaders. He urged Keir Starmer to take steps towards a sustainable peace. Any decision without Ukraine, he said, was a dead decision. President Trump said he must get ready to sign something.
An emergency meeting of EU ministers to discuss Ukraine is set to take place tomorrow, as the bloc's foreign policy chief said today that any deal between the US and Russia must include Europe and Kyiv. Kaya Kallas is convening the meeting to discuss Europe's next steps ahead of Donald Trump's talks with Vladimir Putin in Alaska on Friday. A White House official said the US president was willing to include Volodymyr Zelensky, but for now it remains a summit between Mr. Trump and his Russian counterpart. Our World News correspondent Joe Inwood reports.
After being put on the back foot by the news that Presidents Trump and Putin, and only them, would be meeting to discuss the war in Ukraine, Europe is starting to find its voice. Last night, a joint leader statement set out the continent's position that Ukraine will be supported and Russia must not be rewarded for its aggression. Now, it has been announced an extraordinary meeting of foreign ministers will take place tomorrow. One of those attending will be Radek Sikorski, Poland's foreign minister.
It's Europe that is providing most of the assistance to Ukraine, not the United States. The package of assistance passed by the US Congress under President Biden has almost been spent, and the Ukrainian state is being financed by the European Union and Norway and Britain, Japan and others. Europe has not only a stake in it, but also has leverage.
But in reality, it is the Trump-Putin summit taking place in Alaska next Friday where real breakthroughs might happen. There has been concern in Europe that President Zelensky's not been invited, although it's now emerged the US is trying to arrange a meeting between him and President Putin. Vice President J.D. Vance told Fox News, "The way to peace is to have a decisive leader sit down and force people to come together." Whether it will happen is far from certain, though. That would require the agreement of Vladimir Putin, who has shown as much respect towards Ukraine's president as he has his country's territorial integrity.
Donald Trump has insisted once again that a land swap will be discussed in peace talks between Russia and Ukraine, despite President Zelensky ruling out the idea. Mr. Trump is due to meet Vladimir Putin in Alaska on Friday, but that meeting's been met with concern by European leaders who say Ukraine should be involved. The German Chancellor Friedrich Merz has invited European leaders, Mr. Zelensky and Mr. Trump, to an online summit on Wednesday. Our Ukraine correspondent James Waterhouse reports.
Ukraine's European allies are trying to do two things. Encourage Washington to involve Kyiv in peace talks from the start, as well as deepen their own involvement. the meeting of European foreign ministers seems to have unlocked a virtual sit-down with the US president on Wednesday, but there are fears a blueprint to end a war that has scarred the continent for so long could be drawn up without them. Donald Trump told reporters that Friday's one-to-one format was a Kremlin proposal.
I think we'll have constructive conversations. Then after that meeting, immediately, I'll be calling the European leaders, who I get along with very well. The next meeting will be with Zelensky and Putin, or Zelensky and Putin and me. I'll be there if they need, but I want to have a meeting set up between the two leaders. There'll be some land swapping going on. I know that through Russia. To the good, for the good of Ukraine. Also, some bad stuff, for both. So there's good and there's bad.
The trading of territory for peace is something Volodymyr Zelensky has consistently ruled out. His argument is that it won't slow a Russian war machine that has waged a full-scale conflict for more than 3.5 years.
President Zelensky says Ukraine will not leave the Donbass, the area in the east of the country, which it's been defending since 2014. This is believed to be one of the demands being made by President Putin ahead of his talks with President Trump in Alaska on Friday. Mr. Trump has insisted that any peace deal would be likely to involve some swapping of territories, an idea that Ukraine's president has always rejected. From Kyiv, our defence correspondent Jonathan Beale sent this report.
President Zelensky said he had not been invited to Alaska, nor, he said, did he know what Presidents Trump and Putin would be discussing there without the presence of Ukraine. He said it was a personal victory for the Russian president to be meeting on US territory. Mr. Zelensky's already ruled out giving up more Ukrainian territory as a condition for any ceasefire. He says ceding territory goes against Ukraine's constitution. He called any deal without Ukraine a dead deal. Today, speaking to journalists in Kyiv, he was more precise and emphatic. He said, "We will not leave the Donbass. We can't do that." Mr. Zelensky suggested if Ukraine left it undefended, it could become a launchpad for another Russian assault in the future. There is still a gulf between the US and Ukraine ahead of the bilateral Alaska talks. Mr. Trump appears to think that he can make a deal in order to achieve a ceasefire. President Zelensky says there must be a ceasefire and security guarantees before any discussions about deals. And it can't be done without him.
President Trump's former National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, has told the BBC that Friday's summit between Presidents Trump and Putin in Anchorage in Alaska could be a mistake if the US president fails directly to convey the concerns he's already aired in public. General McMaster warned that Vladimir Putin knew exactly how to flatter the US president to serve his own agenda. Here's our security correspondent, Frank Gardner.
Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, a highly decorated former U.S. Army general, served in the first Trump administration as his national security advisor for 13 months. Speaking to the BBC today, he voiced his fears that Friday's Trump-Putin summit risked playing into the Russian leader's hands.
I hope that the people preparing President Trump for this are saying, hey, don't engage in this serial gullibility with Vladimir Putin, because Putin will try to appeal to your ego. He will flatter you. He will hold out the prospect of a big deal. Frank, what he'll say is, would it be great, Donald, if we could work together on nuclear weapons and reduce nuclear weapons, and maybe I can get China to come in?
Reducing nuclear weapons stockpiles and reducing global tensions would certainly be a welcome byproduct of any future ceasefire or peace deal in Ukraine. But European leaders worry that any deal reached with Putin should not come at the price of Ukraine's freedom. Asked if he thought those leaders still had the ear of the US president, he said they did, especially Sir Keir Starmer and the NATO Secretary General. But H.R. McMaster added that they must convince Donald Trump that the outcome of the war in Ukraine was inextricably tied to Europe's security, and that what he called the axis of aggressors, i.e. Russia and its allies, were working together to help it prevail.
President Zelensky says he's made clear to Donald Trump during a virtual summit that sanctions must be imposed on Russia if no ceasefire is agreed at Friday's summit with Vladimir Putin. He was speaking in Berlin alongside Germany's Chancellor Friedrich Merz, who said European leaders had laid out terms for a possible ceasefire. Mr. Trump has in the past hour played down the prospect of reaching such a deal on Friday, saying that would be a matter for a second meeting involving Mr. Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky, if the first goes well. Our Ukraine correspondent James Waterhouse sent this report from Berlin.
Europe is bracing itself for what developments might emerge from Donald Trump's meeting with Vladimir Putin to discuss ending the war in Ukraine. At the moment, neither Ukraine nor its neighbours will be represented. Today was the last chance for European leaders to put on a united front and make their case to the US president in a virtual summit organised by the German Chancellor Friedrich Merz. Once it finished, he held a news conference with President Zelensky and tried to strike a positive tone.
There is hope for movement. There is hope for peace in Ukraine. We're doing everything from European and German perspective to give any chance through diplomacy to end this terrible war.
It's claimed Donald Trump made several commitments to his European allies, including involving Ukraine in any negotiations about its territory, that the current front lines would be the starting point for peace talks, and that Kyiv would have the ability to defend itself after any ceasefire. But with Russian troops advancing in the east of Ukraine, President Zelensky said he believed Russia wasn't serious about peace in the first place.
I've told the American president and all of our Europeans, written, Putin is bluffing. He is pushing all over the front line. Russia is pretending they can occupy entire Ukraine, but this is not true.
President Trump spoke about the call afterwards at an event in Washington.
We had a very good call. I would rate it a 10, you know, very, very friendly. There's a very good chance that we're going to have a second meeting, which will be more productive than the first, because the first is I'm going to find out where we are and what we're doing. If the first one goes okay, we'll have a quick second meeting between President Putin and President Zelensky and myself if they'd like to have me there.
Moscow is doubling down on its demands for even more Ukrainian territory, so it's likely Vladimir Putin will repeat this when he gets his one-to-one with his American counterpart. If Donald Trump agrees to even one of the Russian president's conditions, it could shape European security for decades.
As President Zelensky arrived for the talks in Berlin, the governor of Ukraine's eastern Donetsk region ordered the evacuation of a dozen settlements in the face of a Russian advance. More details from our diplomatic correspondent Paul Adams.
As all eyes start to turn in the direction of Alaska, something is unfolding on the scarred battlefields of eastern Ukraine. Close to the town of Dobropilya, Russian units have broken through front lines and pushed deep into Ukrainian territory. The move threatens key supply routes, and the local authorities have ordered civilians to evacuate. But what does it amount to? Matthew Saville is Director of Military Sciences at the Royal United Services Institute in London.
What we don't know yet is this a genuinely extensive breakthrough, or have we got small bands of Russians now roving more deeply behind Ukrainian defensive positions, and they will be rounded up in the next few days? But it's certainly of a significant concern to the Ukrainians.
Ukrainian officials say the Russian units involved are being detected and destroyed. But the move, possibly designed to allow Vladimir Putin to claim that Ukraine's defences are collapsing, highlights the fragility of the eastern front line and, for Kyiv's European allies, the urgent need for a ceasefire. If Donald Trump manages to persuade Vladimir Putin to halt the fighting, a very big if, then the so-called Coalition of the Willing, headed by Britain and France, wants to be in a position to deploy what Sir Keir Starmer is calling stabilisation forces to help on land, in the air and at sea. But the shape, composition and role of such forces remain unclear.
Vladimir Putin has praised what he called President Trump's sincere efforts to end the war in Ukraine as the Russian and US leaders prepare to meet face-to-face tomorrow. In his latest comments, Mr. Trump has estimated there's a 25% chance that the talks in Alaska could end in failure. Our defence correspondent, Jonathan Beale, is in Kyiv and has been gauging the reaction of Ukrainians to tomorrow's summit.
They call it dronicide. Training to deal with what is now the greatest threat to a soldier on the front line. Drones. A simple shotgun, these Ukrainian troops say, is still the best way of bringing them down. If Donald Trump can't get a deal, this training may save lives. Tens of thousands of their own comrades have already died defending the Donbass nearby. But Russia's still advancing, and their instructor, Ihor, is worried they may soon be asked to surrender more territory. Neither me nor my comrades will be prepared to accept this, he says. We'll carry on fighting until we liberate our land, until they're free. That seems increasingly unlikely. In eastern Ukraine, they're losing ground. President Trump has said that eventually Ukraine will have to sign something. But Oleksandr Mereshko, a senior MP and chairman of Ukraine's Foreign Affairs Committee, says even with the scale of its losses, Ukraine's resolve has not been broken. Ukraine may be losing, but it's not been defeated.
Ukraine has proved many times that you cannot impose anything on our people. That's why I don't believe that the deal or any agreement which leads to our destruction can be imposed on Ukraine.
Ahead of the talks, President Putin praised what he called America's sincere efforts to end the war. But President Zelensky thinks that Russia's participation is far from honest. Even President Trump has said there's a 25% chance the talks might fail.
Downing Street has said the summit in Alaska presents a real chance for progress as long as Mr. Putin demonstrates he's serious about peace in Ukraine. The comments were made after Sir Keir Starmer hosted talks with Ukraine's leader Volodymyr Zelensky. Here's our diplomatic correspondent Paul Adams.
The show of solidarity and symbolism was unmistakable, from the hug with which the Prime Minister greeted President Zelensky on his arrival at No. 10 to the sunflowers in the vase during their conversation in the garden, and the sight of Sir Keir Starmer walking his guest back to his car. The meeting, just an hour long, caps a week of intense European diplomacy designed to show that Ukraine's European allies have its back and to make sure that their key demands, that a ceasefire has to come first and that Ukraine needs credible security guarantees, are ringing in Donald Trump's ears as he flies to Alaska. The former head of the Secret Intelligence Service, Sir Alex Younger, says he's been impressed by Europe's efforts.
But I think they've organised to tremendous effect to add consequence to both Putin and Trump's actions. And I would go further, and this is a bold statement, and it's possibly overreaching, but I think we're getting to the point now where Europe can actually effectively substitute for the tremendous contribution the US has made